I'd like to read just a little bit over in the book of St. John in chapter 3. Got a few things on my mind to talk with you about. And I always love to come here and share the word of the Lord with you and talk about Jesus. The most beautiful thing I know of is the name of Jesus. Like the writer said, tell me his name again. Sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. I've told you the little story how that they say that when the song was wrote, that as to a missionary preaching the name of Jesus, and this man that had heard him had walked for many miles, traveled for many miles by walking, and came to hear him talk about Jesus, and then turned to go back home. And they say that when he was about halfway home, that he forgot the name, and said he turned again and walked all the way back to hear him say the name Jesus once again. And when he arrived, he said, please tell me his name again. Salvation and none other name. That's why Brother David Paul was praising the name Jesus. He's come to realize the beauty of the name Jesus. When you come to know the name Jesus, you just praise it all the time. People who don't understand sometimes, you know, you preach baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, that we should put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Paul said as many as have been baptized into Christ Jesus, they put on the Lord Jesus. And of course, the wedding garment is the body of the Lord Jesus, whereas Peter uses the terms, if this tabernacle be dissolved, that is to say, this body, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, that is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So put ye on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provisions for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. So knowing that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, it's because we have been baptized into his death, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through the name of Jesus, in that salvation shall be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, and that there's salvation in none other name. Then we say that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it, and they are saved. So we're baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or that is when we put on the body of the Lord Jesus, then the Spirit of the Lord Jesus comes into that body. Just as my spirit is in my body, then his spirit is in his body. So the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, which is the Spirit of Christ, even the Holy Ghost, he comes into the body that we've just put on. So when the body comes up, then comes the great Holy Spirit to tabernacle or dwell eternally in that temple. Whereas the Bible says when Jesus was being baptized by John, the dove descended, it came upon him. And of course the Bible said, upon whomsoever you see the Spirit abiding, then you know that that is him. And when John saw that, he knew that that was him. So he said, he that cometh is more worthy than I. I'm not worthy to stoop down and to loose his shoes. And I must decrease and he must increase. And as it said, and this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Or the original rendering, this is my Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. Or this is the tabernacle of God, as John said, in the earth, and therefore God being the great Holy Spirit, in that the fullness of God was in the body of the Lord Jesus. So then God, the great eternal Spirit, fully tabernacles in the body of the Lord Jesus. And that body is to members of whom you are. Members in particular, him being the head of that body, then ye are the membership. However, just remember that God is a spirit. And when you ask as to where the body of the Lord Jesus is today, then you look around you and you see the saints, and there sits the body, the natural body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And God, who is a great spirit, having been in the fullness within the body of Jesus as to the headship, when the head was severed as to the capital punishment of that day, in that it was a beheading, the headship went away and is there with God in glory, and we, the membership, we remain, but we're still, as through the eyes of God and by virtue of the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the very bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And someday that Godhead will return to this God body, that the fullness of God may be all in all, as to where we as a people being ordained to the full measure of the full stature of Christ Jesus are going on to a full reward. That is to say, we are the fullness of the Godhead bodily as to the membership with the head. Whereas he individually is the fullness of the Godhead body, but we being the body, he is the headship. So we look around us and we see our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been here all the time. And this, of course, creates a stirring within us to understand more that this great, wonderful potentiality, that is to say, Christ in you, the hope of glory, or this great, wonderful God of spirit that he is breaking forth from within the inner man as to the inner kingdom of God that you receive by means of Calvary. And he's breaking forth into your blood genes that this spiritual life of God may be made manifest in your mortal genes, that you may outshine the brightness of the noonday. As this glory to glory moves within you, you are changed. Even your blood genetics, even as it was with Stephen's when his face shined, and as Moses, when he had to put a veil over his face, Moses just being outwardly illuminated, Stephen's from within, and as Jesus when he changed and glistened as the sun, as the light. So he was the fullness as he stood on the mountain as to what you're going to be. And you're going to glisten as the brightness of the noonday. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that you'll outshine the brightness of the noonday. The sun will have to hang its head in shame. As bright and mighty as it is in candle power, as created by science, it'll have to hang its head in shame. So I'd like to talk with you just a few minutes about God, who is a spirit. Run over a few thoughts that we brought before you before, and then maybe add a few more things to your collection. The Bible said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. That is to say, this heavenly treasure, even given to you and I in these earthen bodies as to earthen vessels, and the fullness of this wonderful glory as to his potential of life on the inside of you, which means that he hath given you all things that pertain unto life. If I say I'm going to plant an apple tree, I would say to Brother Taylor, I'm going to plant an apple tree. And I bring a little seed along, and I take that little seed, and I'm going to plant me an apple tree. And Frank would say, my, how are you going to get an apple tree out of that? I said, well, this is the fullness of the life of the apple tree. This little seed is the potential of all that I desire as to satisfy my appetite in a day to come with luscious apples. I'm just going to drop it in the ground. And, of course, that would be a great mystery if Brother Taylor was not acquainted with that of the life of the apple within the seed. Same way with a little child as to the seed, and then the life as to the ear of corn, and then the life. And whatever it might be, it is within the seed of God. We are partakers of the divine life of God. The Bible said partakers of the divine nature of God. And we have conceived as to a divinity of the seed of the word of life, which is Christ, the hope of glory, even the Son of God. And we're bringing forth now his image, and the minister is travailing till he can bring forth Christ within you, which is your hope of glory, in that he is the only one, as I've said so many times, that was made heir to the glory of God. All right, let's read in St. John chapter 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to say again, we appreciate you being here. Praise the Lord for you. We've got a brother here with Brother Washington that's been here, I believe, several times with us. And the last time he was here, I did not know, I guess he was here the first time. The second time I did, but it just never registered, even though I looked at him and was going to say something as to make mention of his name. And I'm still not sure about his name yet. Brother Washington, or brother, can you tell us your name? Tuggle. Brother Tuggle. Where are you from, Brother Tuggle? Atlanta. I believe this is about the third time you've been here, is that right? Fourth time. Well, anyway, we're certainly glad to have Brother Tuggle here with us. We trust that he'll find this wonderful revelation of the Son of God and be a child of light. Give the Lord a hand. All right, so the Bible says that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets, until John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Now we pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our goal in life as sons and daughters of the Lord is to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Now, we are waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God, as we say, which is absurd when you say that. Because people who talk about waiting for the kingdom of God, that's absurd. That proves that they do not understand. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is within you. He said the kingdom of God, it don't come by observation. He was explaining this to Nicodemus because they kept saying someday the kingdom of God is coming, and there stood the kingdom of God right in his presence, and he didn't recognize it. There stood the resurrection in his presence, and he didn't recognize it. And there stood the Messiah in his presence, and he didn't recognize it. And there stood Almighty God, the fullness of God in heaven and in earth, in his presence, and he did not recognize it. Now let's don't let this happen to us. We look around us and we see each other. And I preach to you all the time, in that you do it as unto these, you do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you're not to know a man after his human person, as to the bastard child image of the first birth, but you are to know him as the great, wonderful, holy God of heaven and of earth, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as to whatever measure is manifested in that man, as to the recognition of the great God body. And this is why the Bible said, I will make all men or all people come to kneel in your presence or before you and know that I have loved you. For ye are the temples of the living God, and God dwells in you, and God walks in you. According to the measure that ye have allowed of this great God of Spirit to be in you, so walks God in you. And so manifests God in you according to your ability to utilize this potentiality of life. That is to say, if you've developed your faith in your lifetime by submission and conformity as to this outer man, that is to say that we are mortifying the deeds of the body and we're bringing into focus the image of the Lord Jesus Christ measure by measure and going on to the full measure as to the perfect man, Christ Jesus, that we may receive of him a full reward. So then when you look around and you see your brother or sister, then you know that in that you've done it unto them, you've done it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you feel bad toward them, think bad toward them, have a bad attitude toward them, or say something against them, or say something for them, or help them, or whatever, then have you done that unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the day of judgment, when you stand before God Almighty, then you'll be judged accordingly. And every thought that you think, the Bible said in that day, God shall judge the secrets of men's heart by this gospel that I am preaching. All right, so he watches the thoughts of our heart, and as Brother Branham said, we remind you again of this. It is very true, I found this to be very true, that our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words do as to one another on earth. So when they thought certain thoughts, Jesus would perceive their thoughts, and he'd say, why do thoughts arise in your heart? And he would talk to them on the basis of their thinking. They never had to say a word. He just communicate with them on the basis of their thinking. And he would say, thou hypocrite, why tempt thou me? All right. So then we see here, Jesus uses the terms to Nicodemus, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is really something. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, here we are. We're people, and we're God people, and out there, those are people out there. They're not God people, but, you know, when the Lord breaks through in the heavens, and here comes the kingdom of God, we're going to see it, and they're going to see it, and everybody's going to see the kingdom of God coming. Well, if that should happen, then we know then that the Bible is false, even though they see something. Because the Bible said that a man, those men, those women, that they cannot see the kingdom of God. They cannot see the kingdom of God. If the church world is right, and they're going to see the kingdom of God come in the sense of manhood, then the Bible's wrong and all my preaching is in vain. Because I'm preaching that that's not true. I'm preaching that they're altogether wrong. See, the Bible says one thing here, that he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And I'm telling you that God's word says that no man has seen God at any time. No, not even Moses, not even Abraham. No, no man has seen God at any time. No man. And so then it says that God is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Now, the sun is a great light under which no man can approach. He's never been able to approach it. He never will be able to approach it. If he tried to get near it, anything that he could come up with would literally melt and vanish away because of the heat of the sun. It purgeth all things. It giveth light and life and heat to the earth. Three stages of it. There's fire, there's heat, and there's light. Because God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and everything he creates emanates from him. It comes out in a threefold manner, or after a threefold fashion. All right, so then we see that God is the great light. No man can approach him. And I remind you of this once again, that at the end of the world, after the 1,000 years millennium reign, that God, the great light, is going to come forth. Now, what happens when he comes forth? Everything dissipates. Did you know the mountains dissipate? Did you know the ocean dissipates? Did you know that every living human form dissipates? And there is not one living human being left on the face of the earth? That Jesus Christ alone, who was not born as a human being, only in the sense as divine conception, for he was made a quickening spirit, and he came from heaven as the great light, the Word made manifest, not of blood genetics. He was not begotten of human inspiration or human relation. That is to say, the Bible said he was not begotten of the will or desire of a human being, but he was begotten of God. He came of God. And this great one, he and he alone, dwells in the midst of this great light. What is this great light? It's an understanding. Light is an understanding. I say this again to you. This light that you see is recorded by your conductive nerves that go to your brain. And anything that you pick up is feeling through your nerve system as the creature, the body being made subject or subjected or connected to vanity. That is, all is vanity, Solomon said, and it's rooted as a tree to vanity, and all of your thinking is vanity. All of your plans are vanity. And God's mind is so high above your minds, higher than the heavens is the earth, as to his thinking. And you have to enter into the realms of glory and into the realms of revelation to have his mind revealed to you. And this great mind is the power of creation. It's by this great mind, in that God is a sovereignty. He's a spirit. He's a great mind. It's by this great spirit, by this great mind, that he hath created all things. In that God, when he unveils himself, the light will come forth. He'll come forth as a great light. And when he comes forth as a great light, everything in the world will completely be gone. How then can I remain? Because I have been born again. I have been changed over from the world of darkness to the world of light. This world is a world of darkness, in that Satan is the spirit of darkness. He is a light. But the Bible speaks of that light within you being darkness. Like in the world, they have what they call a dark light. So then this dark light, even the spirit of Satan, which is darkness, or that is ignorance. When we say ignorance, ignorance as to the light. Darkness cannot fellowship light. Light cannot fellowship darkness. Where there's darkness, there's no light. And where there's light, there's no darkness. So then when you say a dark light, how then can a light, darkness be light? Only in the reflection. Only in a retina, here, as having been in the presence of God, being a reflector, and he has absorbed that light to the glow. Like you see things out, they are not light, but they glow. And they can absorb light to the extent that when they're in the darkness, they continue to glow for a period of time, and then it goes away. Well, that is to say that ministers, even ministers of Satan, can transform their minds into ministers of light by that radiation of light, or absorbing that light. And they can come and talk about the Word of God and tell you the Word of God and preach a sermon. And even the anointing of God is to that light that is poured out upon the just and the unjust. It's present. And through that light, faith can be administered toward God. And then through that blood that's on the seat of atonement, these people that are really sons of Satan, and Satan dwelling on the inside of them, they can absorb this light to the extent that the rain is on the unjust. But actually, all they ever bring forth is weeds in their life, briars in their life, tares, because they are a productive field toward tares. But when the same rain comes and the same sunshine comes, our seed of life releases its potentiality, and when it does, it brings out the life of Christ, of love and peace and joy, long-suffering and meekness and strength and faith and endurance and praises toward God. Whereas to the other soils, the seed releases hatred and bitterness and murder and deceit and all these ugly things as to the practices of human beings. That's contrary to God. That's their life, because that's the potentiality that's within the seed. Whether it be a crab apple tree or it be an apple tree, as to the sweetness or as to the bitterness. All right, so Jesus said here that there's a world of difference between light and between darkness. Now then, ye are not children of darkness. ye are children of light, which means children of understanding. I remind you again, when Paul received the revelation, the veil was gone from his eyes. He was smitten. Darkness was there. He was blind. He suddenly saw that the light revealed his blindness. With all of his ambition, all the things he was doing, so religious, he knew all kind of things, had studied at the feet of Gamaliel, was an Old Testament scholar. But yet, when the light came, he realized that he was blind and foolishly ambitious and vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind as to his studies and to his learning, and knew nothing of God. And it showed up his blindness, and then when he went down to the street called Straight, then the man met him there and prayed for him, and the scales fell from his eyes, and that veil of evil as to satanic power that had driven Paul was taken out of his life, and the great spirit of light came into Paul. And God said, Paul, now that you're a child of light and you've come out of the world of darkness, now I want you to minister to my people in all the world. I've set you as a light, even at the ends of the earth, and I want you to minister to my people, Paul, and I want you to turn them from darkness unto light. So then the Bible says that God hath translated us from that kingdom of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of light. We're taken out of the world of darkness, no more as children of ignorance to follow after the infatuations of our flesh or the enticement of our eyes as to the desire of this body and to become intermingled with the things of the world. But we're taken out of the world of darkness. We're interwoven with this great, wonderful world of light. And now are we children of light. And now are you the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And the old body is to the old being of Adam. That is to say, he that is born to the first man, Adam. The living soul is now dead. It's gone. It's buried because of sin. And the soul of that life has been preserved as to a quickening spirit, and now we are alive forevermore. So we see why Jesus would say to Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel? And he could have said, and you're still blind, and the blind leading the blind. Don't you know that if the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall into the ditch? I am a child of light. And he said, I am of heaven, and I dwell in heaven. I come down from heaven. I am in heaven. When I finish the work, as to my earthly work, I'll go back to heaven, Nicodemus. And of course, Nicodemus said, how can this thing be? We are looking for the kingdom of heaven. No doubt he was telling Jesus. He was probably saying, we're looking for the coming of the kingdom of God. And there the kingdom of God stood, and they didn't see it. They were blind. They could not see. Because the Bible says, and the children of this world shall not see when the good cometh. Because Lucifer, the prince of this world, he taketh them into captivity at his will. And he blindeth the eyes of the wicked. That is to say, the eyes of understanding. So they cannot see when good cometh. So we understand then that they are children of darkness. But I tell you again, ye are not children of darkness. Though a minister tell you this many times, you know, you would sit and listen and then go your way and it would mean nothing. You would sit and listen to all this indoctrination and go your way and it would mean nothing. You're still classifying yourself with those people that are without, and you still fellowship those people, and you still go out there among those people, and you're soon to forget what God has told you, that ye are children of light, and you get all dirty on the outside. You mess around the hog pens and around the dog and the vomit and all these kind of things. Then you get a bad odor about you, and then you come back and you're so pitiful you have to be washed all over again. You understand what I'm saying? Not as to be washed on the inside all over again, because you're not contaminated inwardly, because you've been washed inwardly and perfected forever. But in that you haven't been changed as to your natural body, you're still subject to the dust of the earth. And as you get the dust, you have to get under the shower. You have to clean again. Your teeth still get a buildup, and you have to brush those teeth. And you have all kind of things that's malfunctioning in the body unless you follow the routine of the life of Christ as laid down into good health and happiness and all these things. See, that's why God laid these things down for Israel. He laid these things down for Israel because they give good health. Those things that he gave to Israel gave them perfect health in their body. A lot of people say away with those things, but it's not away with those things. See, they gave perfect health in the body. And someday Israel will bring that forth and prove to the world that with all their nutritional values and all of their things that they have, dietitians and whatever, that it is nothing, that they have the secret to health as to the body. So then we're going to find out that the redemption of the body relates to Israel. And when the law comes in as to the adoption, as we brought out to you before, that this change of the body is going to come because it is given to them. But then when it comes to the angelic interbeing as the bride of Christ, then it is the Spirit of Christ, and this Spirit is being perfected within you by the works of the Lord Jesus, by faith in God, and by all things that God has done, and you find yourself still having the same problems in your body. Whether it's cancer, whether it's heart conditions, or whatever it might be as to malfunctions of the body, you find it to be there. See, because you don't know the secret of the body. It wasn't given to you, but it was given to them. And they will bring back into view the same wonderful thing that they had before the flood. Bring it back into view and as before the flood. And when the blessings of God is there and the curse is lifted off of everything, then they'll be living for 1,000 years. Just to prove that death did not come by God, but it came by man's ignorance. And man's misunderstanding of God's diet and God's things has led him astray to his own gullible desire. Just like in the Spirit, God gives us the bread of the Word. He gives us the drink of the Word. And yet, even though the Bible says to drink my blood for its drink indeed and eat my flesh, for this is meat indeed, yet we have a gullible desire to go after the other things of the world and try to mix all of these things in with our diet, and then we get in trouble. That's why the Bible speaks of the charitable supper of the Lord, to invite them to the supper of love and charity. That is to say, God has so loved that He has given us meat and drink, and we're invited to share this lamb before the breaking of the morning light as to the dawning of that great day when he himself as the day star shall appear, despising the image of them that have never been born again, in that it's harlotry and of the great harlot, and it's out of wedlock. Whereas with you and I, it's already there, spiritually speaking, as to Calvary being that great day, as to the day start dawning within our heart, and God has put all of that behind Him, as to the bad side of it, cutting that off at Calvary, putting it behind Him, and yet it's not made manifest in our mortal genes until the change, as to the Thessalonian change, when the Lord Jesus comes forth, sounding the last trumpet. All right, so I said all that to say this, that light and darkness has no fellowship. Ye are children of light. Why then do you go out into that world out there and misconstrue things in the sense that you go to where those things are not right? Why do you do that? See, someone would say, well, if I'm light, if I go there, I don't have to worry about darkness because I eradicate darkness. Yes, that's true. If this life was already manifested in your mortal genes and your body had been changed and you didn't have so much smut on your globe, then the light would show. But in that you get so much smut on your globe, the light on the inside cannot show forth, and you find yourself out there in the midst of those things that are not right, and other people stumble and they go to their death because you don't offer them any light. So then what we need to do is get down to business. Stop thinking about getting rich. Stop thinking about getting famous. Stop thinking about what we can own and what we can have, because we have a little bit of life to put forth, you know, as to zeal and ambition. And forget about projecting this old devil of self, you know, out there so that everybody can rave as some kind of rock and roller or some kind of president or some kind of whatever. I know that there's cases, rare cases, or there are things and times and has been in past seasons where God raises up one as to a president. God raises up one as to some kind of celebrity or real statesman or dignitary. Puts them in some kind of position to where they can have something to help others. He does that. And at the time, as it was in the days of Mordecai, that he raised Esther up as to the queen to make her to be in place to do away with the wicked, to keep them from destroying the royal seed, which was the Jews of that day. to bring forth the lineage of Jesus, because if the royal seed line had been destroyed, Jesus could never have come forth. Now, so then, as to say him receiving the kingship through the royal seed line, he had to come through the royal seed line, even though he was begotten of God, or that is on the side of Mary, and that we brought it out concerning the side, the other side of it is to Joseph, Cornelia. That is to say, the corruption of Cornelia caused the promise of God to be of none effect as to coming through the seed of Joseph, and it had to come through the seed of Mary. And God did that to bring the fulfillment of the virgin birth. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. And so then we see that this is the way that everything came about. We said unto Mary, how can this be, seeing that I've never known a man? It was said here of Nicodemus, how can this be, seeing that I'm old? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? And it was said, how can this be? And of course, where the question is asked, well, is there children that come about? Does women come up with children without husbands? Of course they do. They come up without husbands because it is a harlotry thing. But on the other hand, this was the virgin thing, and it was not a harlotry thing. It was the divine act of Almighty God to bring forth the God image into the earth. Now, this is what I'd like to say this morning. See, we see this in a measure as to what God's doing, but great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was caught up into heaven. And so then God in the earth, tabernacled in the earth, God, who was, as I say so many times, before the beginning of the world, he was before the act of creation. He was here before the act of creation. He had to be here before the beginning, because the beginning is the act of creation. And who is the creator but God? Therefore, he had to be before the creation and before the act of creation, or there'd never been a creation. As the mother and dad has to be before the child comes, or there'd never be a child. And so then we find that this great, wonderful thing of God tells us that something is different about you and the people that are in the world. Something is different. As Brother David Paul again said here, something is different, he said, about me and the world. Something is different about us and the world. What is this great difference? The act of creation. The act of creation, we say, brought us all into the world. Brother Pike, how is there such a great difference, or what is this great difference between us and the people out there if the act of creation brought us to be? Have you ever read that little scripture the prophet spoke of where he said, and I'm the one that formed the light, and I create the darkness, create the good and the evil, I have my way in both. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. Can evil come to a city, and I'm not sin, it saith the Lord? I rule in the affairs of men. I do what I want to, that is, the Lord was saying. But have you ever read that where he says, I form the light? I form the light, and I create the darkness. And yet the Bible said God has translated us from that rim of darkness into the rim of light. What are we doing in the darkness anyway? Someone would say, well, what it is, Brother Pike, we're born a child of darkness and then God makes us into a child of light. But you don't really believe that, do you? Do you really believe that? I know God can do anything, but I'm not born a child of darkness. Even though in my body I am in the same realm of the creative act of God, but I was in the mind of God before the world ever was. The Bible said God gave me this in Christ before the world ever was. And at Calvary, at the rent veil, at opening the thing to take away the veil, as we would say, from Rebecca's face, to bring us into the secret chambers as to the marriage. See, this went away at Calvary when the veil was rent. And my intellectual concept as to wickedness and evil and all those thoughts that would harass my mind is forever gone at Calvary. I'm separated from that. I, as the child of light on the inside, I'm separated from that, and that body of death and darkness and ignorance is gone, buried, done away with. That body of death is no more. I'm no more in captivity to the body of death. The stone of that heart as to the law and accusation that sealed me and entombed me within a human body, as it has been said, bars of bone, it's opened up at Calvary, and I'm free. I'm like the little butterfly that went through the stages of the metamorphosis, and I'm free from the cocoon. As God said to Jacob, thy worm, as to the first stages of man, I will help thee. The little cocoon is broken open. I'm as the heavenly butterfly with all of its beauty, as to those lovely wings of color and whatever representing the covenant of God. I'm free. I'm a heavenly creature. I'm not bound to the earth by the gravitational powers as to the worm side of life. But I'm free as to the little butterfly. So then, as you see the little butterflies come forth in the springtime, then you know that it signifies the resurrection. As the little poppies that put forth their face, Solomon said, as the little flowers, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land, that is to say of the turtle dove, and you can hear it, especially over in Israel, you can see it, and you can hear it as it coos to its mate. See, the body as to the head, cooing to the mate, it is longing for the love and the relation of that which belongs to it. It is searching for its body. That doesn't mean God's coming back after everybody. You know, we preach God loves everybody. It is true that the love of God has come to everybody, but the love of God transformates, it translates, it transfigures. When you have the love of God, it transfigures you into another human being, or into another stage of life, as you would say, as to another human being, developing altogether different from the first stages of the human being. And yet with God, it's not a human being at all. It's only to your sight as somebody that does good, whereas somebody that did do evil. But it's far beyond that. It's something that goes far beyond that as to the human thinking. I say again, as to the heavens above the earth, so is this great, wonderful mind of God. This mind of God coming into you to change you as to the inner man. The old is laid away. It's passed away. It's gone. The days of darkness is gone. Now the darkness is over, and the true light now shineth. And now we're a child of light. And now the day star has dawned in our heart to break forth a little at a time until completely consumes the outer man, and through that consummation brings us to a radical change, as the Thessalonians change when we are shown as the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular. So now, beloved, are we the sons of God. It doth not yet as to the appearance show you as to the inner man, but the Bible said that we are still as to the inner man, sons of God. As to the outer man, we are already sons of God in the mind of God. But I say again that the body must go through the law process, because the Jews have that side as to the perfection of the body. But you and I, that's going to be changed, we don't have to go through that eating and drinking to bring a perfection in the body. See, now we do if we plan to live in this life, unless we have the act of faith. But through the act of faith, we change our bodies into the great wonderfulness of God, and we bring it into this newness of life as to perfect health and perfect image, because by faith from the inner source we come forth. That is to say, the Christ in you, you interwoven with His Spirit, your angelic being, not being you that live, but Christ, breaking forth in these genetics, changes it into the wonderful image of God, which is the perfect body. But they that live in this world have to receive that life as to God coming in through vegetation or animals or anything, whatever is given to them as to live and survive from in this world. See, like the songwriter said, moving in every creature in all the world, God hath no dwelling place, no certain dwelling place. So then God is in you as to the measure of Christ. God is in me. And whatever I allow to be in me is that measure. And whatever I conform to as surrender as to the outer man, I say again to you, this is what I'm going to be throughout eternity. So then what is the difference between me and you and the world? What is the difference between Christians and non-Christians? What is the difference between the sons and daughters of God and the sons and daughters of the world, as to say those of Satan? What is the difference? They are absent of light. They are absent of life. They are absent of the eternal spiritual inheritance. And they are, as to the land of Esau, all things in this world given into the hands of Satan, that they may enjoy these natural things until the time appointed to the Father, that is to say, the bar mitzvah, all the change, which is the great sounding of the last trumpet when the mysteries of God are finished and the dead in Christ come forth. The coming of the Jews means the resurrection. Now, so I say, what is the difference? There is one major difference, and this difference is, as he said, I form the light. I create the darkness. See, I was not an act of creation by God. You, as a Christian, was not an act of creation by God. Now, I know that's a little puzzling, but let's look just for a moment at what Jesus said. When Jesus was on the earth, he gave a parable. And as he talked to his disciples, he said, and a man sowed his field. He went out and he planted his field. He sowed his field. And when the field was sown down, everything was fine. Everybody was at rest. And then they waited for the grain to begin to show forth and the little blade began to come up. And immediately those that cared for the field began to examine it. And when they did, they found tares among the wheat. And they were alarmed, so they called for the master. And they said, Master, what is this? Didn't you sow wheat in your field? From whence then cometh these tares? And the master looked at it and he says, an enemy did this. It is the work of an enemy. He did this. He intermingled all of this, and he is to blame for this. I did not sow those tares. So you see, those that are of the world, God didn't sow them. That's not his act of creation. That is the act of Lucifer. Someone would say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that Satan can create? Satan cannot create. As to bring forth, as to an originality, that is to say, as to the elements, he cannot do that. See, only God can do that. All things emanate from God. All life emanates from God. Even Lucifer himself had to be an act as to what God did. See, but the thing is, as to the act of creation, when we say God having created all elements, then God is the one. As to the composition of the tare, then God hath created that element. But as to that form, God did not create that form. See, when God created, the Bible said he said, come and let us make man in our own image. That was the act of God. That was the act of creation. When God created man in his own image. He created man in his own image. So he had nothing to do with the tares. It was the great power of Lucifer, reflecting the light and the power and the knowledge of God, that got a hold of a being and perverted that being to take those elements away from the anointing and the overshadowing or the illumination of God's very presence that kept man in his image. That is to say, an eternal preservation. And when he was led away out of this great marvelous light, then a decaying process set in. A deteriorating process set in. A dissipating thing began to set in, and he began to diminish, to come to naught. Because it was the act of creation that brought him to his form. It was the act of creation that brought him to his image. That's why people today, they perish. That's why they die with cancer. That's why their teeth rot out. That's why old age consumes them. Life is ever leaving them because they are farther and farther from God. Someone would say, well, are we any farther from God now than we was at the beginning? We must be. They lived to be 900 years old, and look at people now. So then someone would say, well, how can we be farther, Brother Pike? Because whereas there's more given, much is required. To him that I've given much, I'll require the more. That is to say, the more that you know, the more that God requires. Or that is to say, the more that you know of the law out here, the more the law expects you to honor and obey the law. Or the more signs that they put up as to tell you what the law wants, the more trouble that you're in if you don't learn to conform to it. The same way in school, if you're going to get a diplomacy, the more they present to you, if you fail to learn and grow in that knowledge, then you don't get a diplomacy. You are a dropout. So then it's the same way in the world. The more you work, the more money you have. The more that's put before you, the more advantage you have. And the less that you make effort, the more poverty you have. Solomon said a little folding of the hands, a little negligence, and then your poverty comes as the woman in travail. So you see what I'm saying? God made man upright. And when the Bible speaks of Adam, it doesn't speak of Adam as being the beginning of the creation of God. It doesn't speak of him at all as that. But when he speaks of Jesus, he said, and this is the beginning of the creation of God. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, how could he have created Adam way over here? You know, and then come way over here and say, this is the beginning of the creation of God. Simply because when he made Adam in the garden, it was as to the Son of God. The Bible said he was the Son of God. But when this being fell, he fell from sonship. He fell from sonship and he was taken into the power and the clutches of the devil through the weakness of the woman. Though he was not in the transgression, yet he yielded to that of the woman. And the woman there representing the world, then those that are of Lucifer as to the weaker species of life fail. And the sons of God as represented by Adam as to the church are those that are in the masculine gender that were not in the transgression as to the man being stronger than the woman to show forth the spirit of God and the man stronger than the spirit of Satan in the world. In that he that is in you is stronger, as to the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And so then the fall from the garden brought the man down to a place to where it was not the Son of God anymore. Not the Son of God anymore. But this illumination as to the image, as to the Spirit of Christ that this man walked off from was the beginning of the creation of God. Because in the beginning, who was the first? It was Christ Jesus. It was Christ Jesus. For he said, Father, restore unto me the joy that I had with thee before the world ever was. And the Bible speaks of the sons of God before the world ever was. He said, and they leap for joy. That is in the foreknowledge of God. They were there. See, they emanated from God. This was given to them in God because they were the Christ body. They are the body of the Lord Jesus. Though this was the Christ, the very life of God, God himself made manifest in mortal genes. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word came forth, put on flesh. I was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld it as the only begotten of the Father, full of truth. And the Bible said he was in the world. God was in the world. He that made the world was in the world, and the world knew him not. So then, what I'm saying is that the creation of God, the act of God, the beginning of the creation was when he made a Christ body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he hath the preeminence in all things, and he was the one, Christ Jesus, being the one that was the beginning. He was the head. He was the start. He was the beginning. You look at a father and you say, this father, even the grandfather sometimes, like among the Indians as a chief, a special chief. The lineage came down from him. From the grandfather came the father, and from the father came the son, and from the son came the sons and daughters as to the head of that lineage. This is what we're speaking of. So when the Lord came, what was it? It was that return of the lost Shekinah. It was that illumination that Adam had left. It had returned looking for its body because the masculine part was the spirit and it was looking for the body. And you and I have the type as to our intellectual conception as a male and a female, a man and a woman. But in all reality, the man represents the spirit and the woman represents the body. So then we see that the spirit as to the Shekinah, as to the illumination, as to that which God the great spirit saw that dwelt in his presence, as to the light, that which was spirit dwelt within the rim of spirit. And so then this great illumination from that light as to the great knowledge of God, or part of God himself,
as the coming forth to become the fullness of God through a growth, to let us know about Christ and God within Jesus Christ, as to the image growing to the fullness of the stature, that all of God might be manifest, and that nothing could come to God except the spilt blood or the given blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He never look upon anything again or preserve anything again except through the blood, because all things was a total loss except through Jesus' efforts to restore it. So then we have all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have the Lord, we have all things. We become His bone, His body, His flesh, as a member of the God body. And He alone that dwells in that light came forth, and He was made a human body. So when the Shekinah returned, then it found its body, the originality of its body. And He took it from darkness back into the world of light, because in the originality it was His. Eve belonged to Adam, not to Satan or the beast. So then, we do not belong to the beast. We do not belong to the beast. Paul said, as the law said, when a woman's husband is dead, then is she free to be married to another. And we went through that with you before. We're not going to try to go through that right now. But when she is dead, I am dead to the world. I am dead to the body, as of that body of sin, that image, that power of Satan that works within the beast. I'm dead to that. I'm married to another. I'm resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am a body as to Him. I belong to Him as His bride. And I've been made perfect forever. And Satan can never touch me again. And the Bible said, he that is born of God, as to the inward man, keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. And as to the outward man, it's never charged against the inner man anymore, because the rent veil separated the body from the spirit, rent in twain, and the body of death is laid away. As to the accusation and the charge, as to the law of sin and death, whereas the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, so it's folded away. And now I am a new body, in that Jesus came up in a new form and walked with them on the way to Emmaus. And the Bible said, though their hearts burned within them as He opened the word to them by the way, yet the Bible said their eyes were beholding, and they could not tell that it was the Lord Jesus that had been resurrected in their presence. So it is thus the same today, in every way unchanged. And here we are in the same condition again today, in the same environment again today, in the same way again today, the same things happening again today. And we, unless we can see and understand, then the Bible said Satan has caused thine eyes to be beholden, or that is to say, Lucifer, the god of this world, had blinded your eyes, even your eyes of understanding, that you cannot see when good cometh. Whereas the Bible tells us that we may be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful salvation of God being made manifest in the flesh. So then ye are the body of the Lord, the Word made flesh. Ye are then gods. Jesus said, ye are gods, but because of the lack of your knowledge, then you die the death of a man. Can a man be God and then die the death of a man? Jesus was God in the fullness, manifested in the flesh, for the Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ. The Bible said, and God giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure, but the fullness of God was in him, and yet he died as a man for you and I. So then we see that we forfeit our right to anything that God has given us if we do as it was Cornelius. That if we do wrong, if we let corruption in, then the advantages of God are taken away from us, and the promises of God are made of none effect, because you tore yourself loose from that which is promised to sonship. So you can come into the rain, you can reflect this, you can feel this, and this can come upon you, but it doesn't mean that your potentiality as to the new birth and the Christ within you is there. See, it doesn't mean that at all. So then, what is the difference between us and the world? There's the world of difference. Even a world of difference. I am in one world, and they are in another world. Jesus stood in one world as to heaven. And here, Nicodemus stood into another world. And I use the term to world because we have no other vocabulary expression as to human, except but human terms as to express heavenly things. So then, the invisible things are understood by natural, even to allegoric expression as well as word. All right, so we frame this in your mind that it might come into your natural intellect as a concept, and then it moves on into your spirit as a divine transformating of mind as to measure to measure. And once this kingdom of God is on the inside of you, then we pray as to the outer man, Father, thy will be done in this body. Thy will be done in this body of dust. Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. I surrender to thee, Lord. I surrender all to thee, Lord. I surrender all. Even down to the intents of our heart, the Bible said, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, casting down the imagination. What is the difference? What is the difference? And I'd like to go on and on because we're just kind of getting started into these thoughts. But what is the difference? There is a world of difference. And what is the world of difference? The world of difference is that they that are out in the world, they are created beings. I am not a created being. I am a being of birth. I am a being of birth. The act of creation and the act of birth. The world of difference, even as the body is adopted in, so is the spiritual children of God born in, the Jews adopted in. But this that is of the Spirit is the birth of Christ Himself. Christ, the very body of the Lord Jesus, that dwells in that great light. So then what is the difference? What is the difference? With the Jews, they have the ordinances as to the earth and all the things that God has given them. So that's much to set up the order of this act of creation in the earth. See, but we are children of birth. We are gods, as even to the Jews. So then are we gods? That's why Jesus was God to Nicodemus. He was a Jew. Jesus was not a Jew. He was neither a Gentile nor a Jew. He was the beginning of sonship, of whose body ye are as to membership. So then there is a world of difference. When we look at it, why is the dispute over the body? Why is there such a dispute over the body? Because light, as to the great potentialities, as to the virtues, as to the characteristics, as to all these wonderful things of God, the attributes of God Himself cannot be made manifest as to coming into human sight except by an act of creation, that we might see God in one another and see the great variety of God in that, as the songwriter said, I say again, moving in every creature, in all the earth, God hath no certain dwelling place. That is, He lives within you. He lives in the measure of water life in the plants. He lives within the measure of blood life in you. He lives within the measure of spirit as to spiritual life in the angelic world. So then we see that God is manifesting Himself as to the unending potentiality of life as greatness, has beauty, as that to be desired, as to His attributes. God is doing that, as to His characteristics, that we might be made manifest in human bodies and see and measure all around us everything, as to the stars, as to the ocean, as to the species of the water, God in everything. How beautiful, how wonderful, how great is the multitude of His thoughts, the writer said. And even the heavens declare His handiwork, so that we are without excuse. And great is the mystery of godliness, but yet ye are those that God seeks to make it known to by the divine revelation of Christ. As to whatever measure you will receive of that knowledge, so is your measure. As to the mind of Christ, so is your measure of the life of Christ, so is your eternal abode, as to what you will be throughout eternity, as to the 30, 60, or 100. With the privilege to go into the full measure, to be therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, to be a king, to rule over 10 cities. 15 cities are mine. How great, how wonderful are the multitude of His thought. So then, in saying these things, I'm only saying that the dispute is over the body for this reason, and Satan sought to take it. Being a reflector, then that is why the third of heaven failed with him, because they were also reflectors, and they were nourished from Him. They were nourished from Him. The only light they could get is
through him, because if the light had come directly from God, them being reflected, as it would have been a consummation, as it will in the day of judgment when the third part of the stars fall, is to show what has happened to those that have been rejected as fallen angels, as to the spiritual beings, which are not true lights, but only reflectors, and reflectors as to light when they reflect, but when the light is gone, they're actually objects of darkness. And the Bible said, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever for these wandering stars. So I say again that the dispute over the body is the same as a man disputing with someone that's trying to take his wife, because that is his means of reproduction of his own image in the earth. And so then men will kill because of that. See, they get fierce, and the Bible says, Solomon said, nothing will pacify them. If a man contaminates as to take part with another man's wife, Solomon said, money won't pacify him, nothing won't pacify him. It's in him to kill. And so then, you see all of these things as to say that when we look at them, then we know that that is the reason why Satan sought to enter into these bodies to get back into light, because he had been cut off from light. And he sought to get back into light through these bodies and through the fallen Adam and Eve. That's what he did. He got back in them, and he's the prince of this world, and he lives in human bodies and those people that are without. And so then, who are they? They are created beings. Created beings, why? Because he said, I create the darkness. Then are we created beings? Of course not. He said, I form the light, which means God is the light. He cannot create himself nor recreate himself. He can only make himself manifest in whatever act of creation he chooses as that to be. So then he formed the light, or that is, he builds a human form as to the act of creation. He forms the light, or he takes light as to a measure, as you would take light and condense it as to whatever configuration that is of him as to satisfy his desire. So he forms the light, because the light has always been and will always be. And in that we're children of light, he has formed us, not created us, but he has formed us. And that's why we don't come to light or to life until Calvary, given to us before the world in Christ and then brought to light at Calvary. And now, beloved, are you the sons of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is here now, been preached, is inside of you. And now we are those that are heavenly beings, and that which is earthly is cut off. And now we are the sons of God. And now we're the children of light. The sons of light, because we are part of him made manifest in mortal bodies. Somebody say, praise the Lord, and let's give the Lord a hand. Can you stand with me? Well, we could go on and go on talking about this wonderful thing, but then we say again, what is the difference between sons of God and the people of the world? One major difference, birth. We are his sons. We are born of his family. They are servants as to the act of creation, and God has given them the preeminence, in that they are first, and yet given us the blessing in that we're last. But he said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. That's why the Jews as a natural type is last. But someday they're going to be first as to the head of the nation. And that is why that the world is first, because someday they'll be under the Jew and they'll be last as the act of God's creation. So then we are heavenly beings. We are gods, and we are those that should walk circumspectively before God as the unveil, that the world may see our light. And the Bible said, so walk that the world may see your light and glorify your Father in heaven, as to see your good works, to praise him that is within you. And of course, Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. Well, as I said, we could go on and on, but time to time we desire to bring out just a little bit of the mystery of God here and a little bit of the mystery of God there, that you may, that are sons and daughters of God, comprehend what we're saying. And when you do, then you have transformated a little more in your mind. And according to your measure, as to the translation of your new birth into Christ, one weighs 10 pounds, one came forth 7 pounds, and pounds. I think Brother Al was about 14 pounds. But anyway, whatever your measure is as to the conception, so grow ye as to whatever limitation might be toward that. Al came as a large baby, and he still was a large baby when he went out. But anyway, nevertheless, he was a son of God as far as I know. And so then I'm saying that to say this, that as you submit yourself, so are you in the Lord Jesus. Whatever you desire, it's up to you. It's up to you. You love the Lord?
Amen.
All right, let's sing a chorus together. I love Him. Can you sing that with me? I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree, every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is. Do you love the Lord? Sweep over my soul. The altars are open. Over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. Sit at Jesus' feet, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. I've anchored my soul in God's heaven, and I'll sail. It may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I sail evermore. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question. One life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth,
given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Sing it with me. Our hands up. Thank the Lord for His wonderful presence. And let's love Him together as we're dismissed to go our way this morning to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord for His blessings, to ask Him to walk with us. How wonderful it is to be a child of God. Not in a creation of God. Though I thank God for the creative image that we bear as we walk through this wilderness of intellectual reasoning, even as the tabernacle in the wilderness. But as you've borne the image of the earthly, so shall you bear the image of the heavenly. And if this earthly tabernacle, as to the act of creation, be dissolved, we have another one eternal of the heavens, not made with hands. Even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to say the body that was made spirit and life, that is eternal, that's not subject to the decaying and the deteriorating perspectives of this life. Can you sing it with me one more time? Years from now, you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Willie if he will come and dismiss us. Brother Willie, search yourselves. The Bible said examine yourselves. See if you be in the faith. See if your conviction is in the Word of God or just in something someone has told you or something that you've heard. Find out if it's in the Word of God, because faith by the hearing of the Word and eternal life is of the great spirit. Someone would say, Brother Pike, is that then that God is wanting to make me into eternal life? No. No. 1,000 times no. What is then God wanting to do? He's wanting to reveal to you what you are, what you were, what you've always been. As in Him, so are ye. That He was before the world ever was, as in the Father, and the Father in Him, and that ye are eternal, and so have you always been, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And that's why He came in a human body, to take away the reproach of the body of that death, as to the act of creation, to show that you were not numbered with that, that you are severally divided from that, as the angelic host of heaven, as in the heavens, equal to the angels, you cannot die, that you're eternal. And all He's wanting to do is reveal to you who you are, that with this great inspiration of faith, that this great light, life may break forth in your body and eradicate the shadows to bring you out of the negative into the positive, that you may appear as that child of light and with this great, wonderful image of perfection, of health and happiness,
moving all of your heartaches and pains and troubles and woes and sorrows. So in you, Christ, the hope of that glory that's breaking forth within you, whose sons and daughters you already are. So then, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let it come into your heart. Let it come into your mind. Oh, brethren, I could say a lot of things that would enlarge your heart toward these things. But let it come in. He has to bring it a little bit at a time. As the little baby, it cannot absorb as to manhood, as to understanding. It must come a little bit at a time. And the mother must nourish it, love it, see that it doesn't get hurt, watch over it. And then after a while, it grows into the full stature of manhood or womanhood. So then God is doing that a little at a time. The church is feeding you as a mother to a babe. And He is feeding us through these instrumentalities as membership. And it is the Spirit that doeth all things. I know when we build a house, we say, look what I've done. And I know, you know, when we do certain things, we say, look what I've done with my hands. And I know you did it with your hands, but in all reality, folks, you know you didn't do it with your hands. The Spirit doeth all things and creates all things. And if you built that house with your hands, the Bible said the body without the Spirit is dead. Once the Spirit leaves, then why doesn't the body build more houses? Why is it that the hands lie cold and steel and they're motionless and they do nothing? Because all things are done by the Spirit of life. So then, encourage yourself in the Spirit and in the strength of life, that you might reveal to the world this wonderful light as to a measure as you come into it, and as you, so that you might change into this wonderful glory to be the full, once wonderful membership of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.